SBS Radio.
Suzanne, welcome to SBS Radio. Tell us, what sort of support have you received from the authorities on ground?
So, from the Australian consulate, just basically a phone call, just to say they know where we are, and nothing else. So, I did ask that, look, we need a bit of food, maybe just some sandwiches or something. But so far, we haven't received anything. So I've rung them again this morning and I've said, look, it's been day three and, you know, my husband's a big man. Just need a little bit of basic food. We can't eat the seaweed that we're given. They're very kind to give us food. We're grateful for that. But at the same time, just my husband's on heavy antibiotics because he's got a gum infection as well. So anyway, we're just waiting on that. And yeah, look, we're just taking one day at a time. You know, my daughter had a slight temperature yesterday after quite a few days. Throat was a bit sore. So, you know, today my husband's got a high fever this morning. I've got pneumonia, they told me yesterday. Yeah, we're all on antibiotics, but that's about it, yeah.
Take us through your time on the Diamond Princess cruise ship. How did the virus news reach you and how were you all tested for the virus on the ship?
So what happened was I think on the 5th or the 6th, I woke up very, very sick with the fever and shivering. And then I rang the medical center and I said, look, I'm feeling really, really sick. And they said, look, you need to come down to the medical center and we'll have you tested. There was only two doctors on the ship. So I said, all right. So later on, we went down straight away and then they said, oh, look, the doctor's really busy. He can't see you now. So can you come back later in the evening about 4:30? There was a lot of sick people down there. Then we went back again at 4:30 and then the doctor saw me and he said, look, you haven't had any more temperature today, so I'm going to do a flu test on you because I don't have any anything to test you for the coronavirus. The Japanese health officials have those tests. So I said, okay. And he said, if your test comes up negative, then it's not a good sign. It's probably that you've got the virus. But he said it could also mean that it's another strain of flu that's not getting picked up in the test. So anyway, he tested and did the swab test and then he in 15 minutes he got the results and it was negative. So I said, does that mean I've got the virus? And he said, look, possibly, but I'm not 100% sure, but at this stage we'll treat you with antibiotics to see how you go, and then, you know, maybe if you're still getting worse, then we'll get in touch with the health inspectors to come and do a corona test. Anyway, then I got antibiotics and I told him my husband and kids are with me, if we can get them on antibiotics too, which he did. And then the sort of temperature went away and there wasn't very much more symptoms. And then my daughter in a day or so got a temperature. So at that time they were announcing on the ship, anyone with a temperature more than 37.5 degrees needs to report it immediately. So she was, I think, 37.6 or 37.7. So we reported it and then a day later they came and the Japanese health officials came and did a swab and then they found that she gave us the results that she was positive. So I think probably I had it or I mean obviously still have it, and then I passed it on to her, and just because I wasn't tested, you know, she didn't get picked up. So yeah, that's how it all happened.
Were you scared?
No, yeah, of course we were terrified, because firstly, you know, firstly we were stuck on the ship, and I said it the day that they announced the quarantine, I was just crying. I was like, you know, they're going to leave us on the ship. Even if we're not sick, we're going to get sick here, you know. I was so concerned about the air conditioning, all kinds of things, and, you know, just confined in the room, which couldn't breathe. That was our concern, just being quarantined on the ship. We knew we had to be quarantined because of this issue, but just being stuck on the ship with so many people that might have had it at the time, you know, was very scary. but no one, we didn't know who to reach out to. Like, we tried to ring the Australian emergency number, but, you know, my dad tried to ring from Australia. I tried to ring from the ship, and all I got told was, oh, look, you know, we're negotiating with the Japanese. We're not sure. We're waiting for information. It was very laid back. There was no sympathy. There was no, like, concern or care. Like, all right, look, don't worry. You know, just hang in there. We're going to do everything. Now, even if those words would be comforting, but there was not even those words. So it was really, really scary not having that support, you know, from your government. So that scared us a bit. And I felt we were very helpless, very helpless. And just no information from anywhere. Even the captain at the stage, it was all very new. So the poor man, he wasn't getting much information. So he couldn't give us anything. And slowly, as the days went by, his communication was a bit more, and he was getting more from the Japanese government, so he was able to tell us a little bit more. But we never heard anything from Australia. Then my husband and our family friend, Andrew Smith, we got in touch with him, and he rang Lyndon. And then out of Lyndon, you know, Lyndon pushed it, and then he got in with Minister Jason Wood. And only through them, we were getting a bit more information, and we were getting a bit more support. So, you know, we're so eternally grateful to them.
When you disembarked from the ship, you were taken 2 hours away from the port to a hospital.
That's right.
When you reached the hospital, what sort of symptoms was your daughter showing? What kind of support did she receive from the hospital authorities?
She was not showing anything. She was fine. Like, physically, there was nothing, no temperature, a little bit of an itchy throat, but that's about it. But when we go to the hospital, you know, we were their first cases in this area. So, of course, there was a lot of precaution and panic, and they were running around with, you know, and we were in plastic bubble wheelchairs, taken into this isolated area in the hospital, which is quite scary. But so initially when they brought us in, they didn't bring us together one by one. So we were waiting out in the ambulance while they took Bianca. And then they took me next. And so each of us that they took in, they actually put us through lung x-rays and scans. And then brought us into our isolated rooms, then asked us to wait in there till they brought all four in. So we had 4 separate rooms in another enclosed area. They're very, very polite people. Look, you know, we're so grateful we're in Japan. The medical facilities here are really good. And we're very thankful for that. I can say that, you know, at least we're so lucky and we're in this country. And the doctors are very, very kind, the nurses, very, very kind to us, very kind.
Have you got any idea when will you be able to return to Australia?
No. We've asked the doctor a few times, but because the English is not that fluent, they've tried to draw a little map for us as to how many times we need to be tested. He said 12 days, and now yesterday he said maybe 14 or more, just depending on this virus and how it clears. So we just have to wait. It's unfortunate. We just have to wait.
How does it feel to be stuck outside your own country, missing your own home, not being with your parents?
Look, it's devastating, absolutely devastating. Because, I mean, you know, we just want to be home. Mom and dad are so worried. And, you know, I just want to go back to work. My husband needs to get back to work. My son, for the first time, saying, Mom, I just want to go to school. I don't want to be here. He was crying yesterday morning. He just said, I just need to get home. Yeah, it's just very hard. But what can you do? Look, people are facing such a difficulty with this virus. There's so many people that have died. I mean, you know, what can you do? It's such a bad situation for everyone that's stuck in this problem, you know. What can you do?
What would your message be to the Australian government?
I don't know what to say. Look, who do you blame? How do you, you know, it's very, very hard, because I can understand how difficult it is to manage this mammoth thing, and, you know, people getting sick, and where do you put them? And, you know, I don't know what can I say. I just, you know, just wish that we had been taken off the ship, all of us Australians, maybe quarantined back home together somewhere, on Christmas Island in an area or wherever Darwin, I heard they'd opened up a center.
Yes.
Or, you know, at least not on the ship. I don't know. The ship tried hard, very hard, and are still working so hard to keep people safe. But I think that whole atmosphere, you know, it's not right. It's just being enclosed is really hard.
Mr. De Silva, how are you feeling today?
Well, I'm not feeling too good because I've got a very bad cough and my gum is swollen and the pain is very, very bad. I'm on heavy painkillers and apart from that, I had a very high temperature last night and been coughing very, very badly.
What do you think of this whole experience?
I mean, it's unfortunate, like no one expected that, you know, things like this would happen. But what can you say? I'm glad that we are together as a family in this hospital and we will leave safely and come back to Australia.
As parents, you have grown up kids, but as parents, how are you taking care of your kids?
Well, look, our kids are our first priority and we will do anything to make sure they're safe and bring them home.
You know, we are so lucky that the kids are so sensible. Like Bianca, I mean, she's 20, but she's an adult, but she's still a little baby for us. But she is such a sensible girl, and she's helping her brother, who's 14, through this. he's very quiet at the moment. But yesterday he broke down, so we were happy that he broke down because he needs to cry, and she needs to cry too. But the both of them, they don't complain. They just keep quiet, and they just keep hoping, you know, every day. They don't hassle us. They don't keep saying, "Mom, when?" Because they can understand and they can see, you know, the situation, and we're all helpless together in it. Yeah, just waiting for the days to pass. That's all.
Look, we all hope that you all feel better soon and you all return home safely to Australia. Thank you so much for talking to SBS Radio today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.